This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. And now it's my pleasure to present a concert and interview with one of today's finest interpreters of American popular song, Susanna McCorkle. Music critic Frances Davis called her the outstanding female jazz singer of her generation and praised her composer songbook series of recordings as the best since Ella Fitzgerald's. The first in that series, featuring Johnny Mercer songs, has just been reissued. And McCorkle's new CD is devoted to the songs of Cole Porter. She gives fresh interpretations to his familiar songs and rediscovers some wonderful obscure ones. Before our concert, let's hear something from the CD. Here's a delightful Cole Porter song you don't hear much. It's called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who has an itch to be filthy rich? Who gives a hoot for a lot of loot? Longs to live a life of perfect ease and be swamped by necessary luxuries. Who wants to be a millionaire? I don't have flashy flunkies everywhere. I don't. Who wants the bother of a country estate? A country estate is something I'd hate. Who wants a fancy foreign car? I don't. Who wants to tire of caviar? I don't. Who wants a marble swimming pool too? I don't, 'cause all I want is you. Who wants to be a millionaire? Who wants uranium to spare? Who wants to journey on a gigantic yacht? Do I want a yacht? Oh, how I do not. Who wants to wallow in champagne? Who wants a supersonic plane? Who wants a private landing field too? I don't, all I want is you.
Susanna McCorkle from her new Cole Porter CD, Easy to Love. Our concert with Susanna McCorkle was recorded in May at the annual public radio conference at a hotel in Washington, D.C. In the audience were program directors, station managers, and producers from around the country. But what never showed up was the grand piano we had ordered. It apparently got stuck in a traffic jam. So at the last minute, we wheeled in an old upright that had been in storage at the hotel. Accompanying Susanna McCorkle at this upright was Cliff Corman. Many of the songs in Susanna McCorkle's repertoire date back to the 20s and 30s, but she faces a dilemma. Some of the lovely melodies of the period have badly dated lyrics. Susanna, one of the things you really specialize in is finding songs from the past, wonderful songs. And when you're singing lyrics from the past, the values then are different than the values today. So do you find that a lot of songs are like too sexist to be sung when you go into the past?
I did find that. I got interested in this kind of music about 25 years ago in Europe. I am a baby boomer, so I listened only to Top 40 when I was in high school and college. Then in Europe, I discovered all these great old American movie musicals and jazz and American popular song. And when I decided to take the plunge and try to be a singer, I did notice there were a lot of songs about, you know, Beat Me Up Again, I Love It.
Yeah.
And this was before Women's Lib, but it's still, I didn't really like it too much, so I thought, well, I'll just leave all those out. I won't say Beat Me Up Again, I Love It in songs. I'll find songs that say something else. So I consciously left them out, but then it, you know, the whole politically correct thing, it's really mushroomed, and there's an awful lot that has to be left out now.
Sing a few bars of a song that you couldn't possibly sing.
Well, I couldn't possibly do that, but I will sing a song. I actually do sing this. I did a medley of women's songs written by men over the years. And this one is from the 1920s, recorded by Annette Hanshaw. Pies I'll be baking, and rugs I'll be shaking, and beds I'll be making for you. Cooking and spicing and spreading cake icing to make life enticing for you.
That's great.
See, people laugh now. 5 years ago, they booed. I consider this progress. It is, yeah.
Do you go through periods of purging your repertoire of certain songs and then thinking, but it's a lovely melody, I'm going to put it back in and just do it as a period piece?
I do that. I sang My Man at the Algonquin because it really is a beautiful song. I got some booze there.
That has the He Beats Me Too line in it.
yeah, He Beats Me Too, What Can I Do? But I did think, when I sang that song, I left out the parts that were objectionable to me and to the audience for a while. And then I realized, that is the song, and women do still allow themselves to be beaten today. And it was, so I just said, I'm going to be this woman and try to understand this point of view, that you love a man so much that you just won't leave him. And the most important thing in your life is not even this man, but having such a great and undying love. And it was very instructive to me. I had a lot more understanding for those women. But it is hard. I mean, in L.A., right after the earthquake, I was playing there. I came out and did my usual opener. Is it an earthquake or simply a shock? It's a minefield. It's out there these days. My real test is, could a man also sing this song?
She Beats Me Too.
Well, yeah. So, that, anything like that. You can say, I'm lonesome, I need you, I want to be in love. But you can't say, beat me up, I love it, or without a man, or without you, I'm nothing.
I want to talk with you a little about your life and how you started singing. It seems to me like when you were at the age that women are supposed to fall in love, and men are supposed to fall in love, and meet the person of their dreams and get married, what you fell in love with was song. You were just out of college, you were in Europe, and you just became infatuated with music.
Yes, I had tried to fall in love, but nobody would fall in love with me. So I went to Europe, and I loved Europe and museums and art and, Paris. And I also thought Europeans knew everything. And then I discovered Europeans loved American jazz of the 1930s and movie musicals. All the art cinemas played Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and Busby Berkeley constantly. And a lot of old movies like Double Indemnity, Sunset Boulevard, I had never seen growing up because I wasn't European, at college at Berkeley. It was not Europe, so, not of any interest. And then a friend of mine played me a Billie Holiday record, and I could not believe my ears. I had never heard her. I had only heard Broadway show tunes at home and top 40 music, Joan Baez and the Supremes and then acid rock, and kind of tuned out to music. And I heard Billie Holiday. I could not believe how real she sounded. That was the first thing. Her voice was kind of rough. She was not trying to sound pretty or cute or beckoning or be an actress. She just was, and so were the musicians, and it was like lightning striking. I couldn't believe how wonderful she was and the effect her records had on me.
Susanna, can you do one of the songs that you first heard Billie Holiday sing, one of the songs that inspired you to sing?
Oh, yeah. When I first heard her records in Paris, all I wanted to do was borrow the records and hear them all the time. I memorized them all. And when I first moved from Rome to London to sing, I was only doing Billie Holiday songs wearing 1930s clothes that I'd bought in Portobello Road. I mean, I was into this. And it was actually British jazz musicians who said, it's great to love Billie Holiday. It's amazing that you're a kid and you love her, but you owe it to American jazz, because you're American, not to recreate records, but to do something of your own. So stop singing all Billie Holiday songs for a while. Do others. So I did. I took that very seriously. And it's only in the recent, maybe the last 7 or 8 years that I've come back to those Billie Holiday songs feeling like myself. So it's really a thrill for me to sing them. And in a way, every song I sing is a tribute to Billie Holiday, but especially when I do these, I love it. This is one she recorded in the 1940s, which is about my favorite period for her records, I think. It's that old devil called love again. Gets behind me and keeps giving me a shove again, putting rain in my eyes, tears in my dreams, and rocks in my heart. It's that sly old son of a gun again. He keeps telling me that I'm the lucky one again. But I still have that rain
still have those tears and those rocks in my heart. Supposing that I wouldn't play, didn't stay, ran away, that devil, what a potion he would brew. He'd follow me around, build me up, tear me down, till I'd be so bewildered I wouldn't know what to do. Might as well give up the fight again. I know darn well he'll convince me that he's right again. When I hear that siren song, I just gotta tag along with that old devil.
We'll get back to our concert and interview with Susanna McCorkle and pianist Cliff Corman after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to our concert and interview with Susanna McCorkle, recorded in May at the annual Public Radio Conference in Washington, D.C. Cliff Corman is at the piano. Susanna does a lot of songs from Broadway and movies, movie musicals, and you do a version of Guys and Dolls, in for which you found a lyric that I've never heard.
Dave Frischberg found it.
Oh.
Somebody who's been on your show and is a great friend of mine. I heard his recording in a tribute to Frank Lesser. I know you love Frank Lesser.
Oh,
so do I. And I said, Dave, that is a fantastic new lyric you wrote to that song, because he writes great, funny lyrics. And he said, I didn't write that. Frank Lesser wrote that. I was amazed, and I sang it in New York, and Susan Lesser, Frank Lesser's daughter, was there. She had never heard it. This was cut from the Broadway show, the very last chorus that I sing. Do it?
Oh, please.
When you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some doll. When you see a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane, as only a John can be for a Jane. When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that would flap the Taj Mahal, call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some doll. When you meet a Joe banking half of his dough, you can bet they'll be minking it for some doll. When a bum buys wine like a bum can't afford, chances are that the bum is under the thumb of some little broad. When you meet a mug lately out of the jug, and he's still lifting platinum fal de rol, call it hell, call it heaven, it's a probable 12-7 that the guy's only doing it for some doll. And his cash has run short, you can bet that he's saving it for some doll. When he's all dressed up with his tails gleaming white, who the hell do you think he's tickling pink on Saturday night? When a lazy slob
gets a good honest job, and he smells of Vitalis and Barbasol. Call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some doll. On the other hand, when you meet a dame taking pounds off her frame, you can't bet she's reducing it for some guy. When you see a doll with her diamond in hock, chances are that that rock is going to restock some gentleman jock. When you see a mouse hurry out of her house, and she runs 20 blocks for cigars and rice, call it dumb, call it clever, oh, but you can give odds forever that the doll's only doing it for some guy, some guy, some guy. The doll's only doing it for some guy.
We'll get back to our concert and interview with Susanna McCorkle and pianist Cliff Corman after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to our concert and interview with Susanna McCorkle, recorded in May at the annual Public Radio Conference in Washington, D.C. Cliff Corman is the pianist.
Now, something you should know about Susanna McCorkle, she's not only a great singer, but she's a writer. She's in the, I think, 1975 O. Henry Award collection of short stories. She's written articles that have been published about Bessie Smith and Ethel Waters. And she translates lyrics from the Portuguese into English, as we're about to hear. How did you start doing this, translating lyrics?
Along with Top 40 Music, I heard The Girl from Ipanema, Stan Getz, Astrud Gilberto, and Joao Gilberto in the 60s, and I especially loved Joao Gilberto and the sound of Brazilian Portuguese. So in Europe, I listened to more of that, and I started singing along, and I even studied Portuguese a little so that I knew what I was singing. And then when I moved to London and the jazz musicians there said, don't just do Billie Holiday songs, I thought, well, okay, then maybe I'll sing some bossa novas in Portuguese and English. So I did that, and people really liked them. Of course, people just love those songs anyway. And then when I moved back to the United States after 10 years in Europe, I started singing more, and Portuguese I knew, the more I realized that during the bossa nova craze, a lot of those lyrics had been translated for top 40, Tin Pan Alley mm-hmm. tastes. It's a very deep and beautiful poetry, and there's a kind of sweet melancholy about it that's really wonderful, that it was felt would not translate to an American audience, and they were right. You know, we don't talk about death, killing ourselves, and things like that in a pop song, but they do. So,
well, I'd like you to do a song that you call The Waters of March. That's a Jobim song.
Well, he called it that.
He calls it, okay.
I also call it that.
What I love about this translation, what I love about this translation is that, I mean, I don't know the Portuguese, and I don't know what, you'll tell us what the song says in Portuguese. I guess it's what you've said it says mm-hmm. in the translation. But I just feel like Susanna has chosen words that not only have an interesting meaning, but they have the right sound. All the words seem to sonically work just right in your translation.
Well, this actually, by this time, Jobim was translating his own songs. My theory is that he got really fed up with paying 50% uh-huh. royalties to people who didn't convey the meaning of the songs. I don't know that, because I was too shy ever to meet him. But he did a very literal translation of this song with some things that just don't make sense. For example, the stump of a tree, he would say the rest of a tree, because it's resto de toco in Portuguese. And he would say the riverbanks, talk of the waters of March, which is falando, talking. But it's not talk. It's kind of hard in English, so I said sing. You know, I just changed a few things, and I kept tinkering with it, and wanted to get in his fun with language and the sounds of words, as you said, and also to make some things rhyme, because that's a convention we have, that things should rhyme. And also, still, to convey his meaning, it's kind of stream of consciousness about all the objects in the world, the big things, the little things, the abstract things, the beautiful things, the scary things, the boring things. And it's the Waters of March is about the emergence of the earth from into spring, but also the way the creeks melt and start flowing down the mountainside. He lived in New York 6 months a year, so this was, people have said, well, in Brazil, the seasons are reversed, ha! You know, but he wrote this and knowing that half the year he spent in America, in the United States of America. And it's, to me, it's also about the rebirth of the human spirit. I was coming through a very dark time at that time, and I said, this is the song. The song is saying not just that spring comes to the earth, but spring comes back to the human heart. And that's when you look around and you see all these things around you that you've taken for granted or been bored by or hated, and they're all beautiful, wonderful, miraculous, and you see how the tiny pieces of life fit together and make sense. Finally, they really do. And your heart just springs to life again, and it's an amazing moment. That's what the song is to me.
Would you sing it for us?
Sure. É pão, é pedra, é o fim do caminho, é resto de toco, pouco sozinho. A stick, a stone, it's the end of the road, it's feeling alone, it's the weight of your load, it's a sliver of glass, it's life, it's the sun, it's night, it's death, it's a knife, it's a gun, a flower in bloom, a fox in the brush, a nod in the wood, the song of a thrush, a mystery of life, the steps in the hall, the sound of the wind and the waterfall. It's the moon floating free, it's the curve of the slope, it's an ant, it's a bee, it's a reason for hope. And the riverbank sings of the waters of March, it's the promise of spring, it's the joy in your heart. E o pé, é o chão, é a marcha estradeira, passarinho na mão, pedra de atiradeira, uma ave no céu, uma ave no chão, um gato, uma fonte, pedaço de pão, é o fundo do poço, o fim do caminho, no rosto descosto, pouco sozinho, a spear, a spike, a stick, a nail, it's a drip, it's a drop, it's the end of the trail, the dew on the leaf in the morning light. The shot of a gun in the dead of the night. A mile, a must, a thrust, a bump. It's the will to survive. It's a jolt, it's a jump. Blueprint of a house. A body in bed. A car stuck in the mud. It's the mud, it's the mud. A fish, a flash, a wish, a wing. It's a hawk, it's a dove. It's the promise of spring. And the riverbank sings of the waters of March. It's the end of despair. It's the joy in your heart. É pão, é pedra, é o fim do caminho, é resto de sozinho, uma cobra e pão, João e José, espinho na mão, corte no pé, são as águas de março fechando o verão, promessa de vida no teu coração, a stick, a stone, it's the end of the road, the stump of a tree, it's a frog, it's a toad, a sigh, a breath, a walk, a run, a life, a death, the rain, the sun, and the riverbank sings of the waters of March. It's the promise of life, it's the joy in your heart. São as águas.
faz de março, fechando o verão. E promessa de vida no teu coração. E pão, e pedra, e o fim do caminho. Eu mestre te toco um pouco sozinho. Pão, pedra, caminho. Toco sozinho.
Susanna McCorkle with pianist Cliff Corman, recorded last May at the annual Public Radio Conference in Washington, D.C. Our concert was produced by Art Ellis and edited by Kathy Wolf. Our post-production engineer was Joyce Lieberman, who recorded the concert with Richard Parker. Special thanks to Laura Tyson and the Roland Corporation.